Good morning. This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic News Brief for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Astros managers are suspended and fired for sign stealing. We begin this morning with the most crucial news of the day regarding baseball. Rumors and stories have been circulated for months alleging that the Houston Astros have illegally used technology to steal signs, at least during the 2017 season. The Major League Baseball Association released a 9-page report outlining its investigation into the sign-stealing allegations, revealing that there is sufficient evidence to conclude that the Astros did in fact engage in technology-assisted sign-stealing. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred said General Manager Jeff Lunau and Manager A.J. Hinch were suspended for the 2020 season. Shortly after the penalty was handed down, Astros owner Jim Crane announced that he had, in fact, fired Lunau and Hinch. Neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it, Crane said. We need to move forward with a clean slate. The Astros were also fined $5 million, the highest fine possible under MLB rules, and have lost their first and second round picks in the 2020 and 2021 drafts. Hinch released a statement shortly after the announcement, taking responsibility. Quote, as a leader and major league manager, it is my responsibility to lead the players and staff with integrity that represents the game in the best possible way. While evidence consistently showed I didn't endorse or participate in the sign-stealing practices, I failed to stop them, and I am deeply sorry. Unquote. The issue is not merely one of stealing signs. That has been considered part of baseball's gamesmanship for decades, right there with brushback pitches and hard slides. The issue here is the use of technology in the dugout to steal catcher signs indicating the next pitch. Allegations against the Astros include using technology behind the dugout, passing it to players who are in the dugout, and then using various sounds, whistles, or banging on trash cans in order to indicate whether it was going to be a fastball or an off-speed pitch. Stealing signs is allowed as long as teams do not use any methods beyond their eyes. Binoculars and electronic devices are both prohibited. Back in September 2017, the Boston Red Sox were accused of using an Apple Watch to gain advantage against the Yankees and other teams. Some listeners will also recall that this is similar to the infamous Spygate scandal with the New England Patriots back in 2007, where Bill Belichick was fined $500,000 by NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell for videotaping the New York Jets defensive coach's signals directly across the field. This was the maximum penalty allowed for the league and the largest fine ever imposed on a coach in NFL history. In baseball, the most infamous incident involving sign stealing played out in 1951 when the New York Giants overcame a 13.5-game deficit over the final 2 months of the season to catch the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Giants went on to beat the Dodgers in a playoff for the pennant. 50 years later, the Wall Street Journal revealed that the Giants had spied using a telescope to steal signs from the opposing catcher, which were then relayed to Giants players from the bullpen. Just one quick thought on all this. While sports are just, well, sports, we should recognize that practice makes perfect. And in this case, what I mean is that the way we play our games is how we will tend to live our lives. How we play is what we are practicing for in real life, and this includes who we make our heroes in sports or in entertainment or politics. You can't cheat in games and then not have that bleed into other areas of life. You can't lose your temper in games and never lose your temper anywhere else. This is why parents should care how their children play. This is why morality still matters in entertainment and sports. This is why Christians should be utterly opposed to every form of mistreatment of women, for example, even in sports or entertainment. Even if she signed up for wrestling, it is utterly immodest and unchristian for a Christian boy to wrestle her. You can't practice manhandling a girl or a woman and then imagine that won't have any impact on how you view and treat women in your life or how that girl or woman will feel about and think about the boys and men in her life. Same thing goes for the women prostituting their bodies in movies and television shows. You can't practice watching that and then pretend you're just an innocent bystander. It's affecting you. And not only that, you are participating in that voyeuristic assault. In other news, Catholic news source Crux reports that French bishops have okayed removing gender IDs on baptism certificates. Bishop Joseph de Metz Noblat of Langres, president of the French Bishops' Council for Canonical Questions, which is a great council, by the way, said the changes were made to bring baptismal practices into line with new gender equality laws. In a letter to bishops dated December 13, 2018, but not published until the end of 2019, Metz Noblat said that the ever more complex situation of families in France had made compiling Catholic documents sometimes difficult, especially with baptisms. The reformulation was designed to avoid any moral judgment and help dioceses confronted with problems of vocabulary, the bishop said. According to canon law, ministers cannot refuse sacraments to persons who opportunely ask for them, while children cannot be held responsible for the situations of their parents, Metz Noblat said. This is why we are recommending you adopt this formulation, which seems more suited to our epoch. Unquote. In a January 10th interview with Catholic News Service, Antoine Renard, honorary president of the Federation of Catholic Family Associations, said the church could not refuse baptisms, but required parents seeking the sacrament to commit to raising children according to church rules. The Catholic Church appears to be anticipating legal problems. Same-sex marriage and child adoption were legalized in France in May 2013. A bioethics law allowing state-funded medically assisted procreations for single mothers and lesbian couples was also approved in the National Assembly in October, despite opposition by the Catholic Church. While Protestants have long-standing objections to the doctrinal and liturgical heresy in the Roman Church, historically Protestants have nevertheless recognized Roman Catholic baptism as a valid Christian baptism, based in part on Paul's comments at the end of Romans 2 and the beginning of Romans 3. But regardless of one's views of Catholic baptism, this is another indication of the crumbling of Western civilization under the gangrene of the sexual jihad. While many Roman Catholics in the West still hold to basic biblical principles regarding unborn human life and basic sexuality, I very much doubt that the facade of morality in the Roman Church will last much longer. The Roman Catholic Church is shot through with the false gospel, massive idolatry, and grotesque superstition. It's a very rare occasion to meet a Catholic who actually understands the gospel we find in the Bible. Just as the liberal Protestant Church has abandoned truth and then embraced whatever seemed most suited to their epoch, so now Catholicism seems poised to do the same, or at least to adopt whatever will make their filing system easier. A Georgia man has been exonerated after serving 17 of 20 years. Kerry Robinson, according to CNN, walked out of a prison in southern Georgia on Wednesday, hours after a Colquitt County judge vacated his 2002 conviction and sentence. Robinson's conviction was from a case in 1993 when three young men raped a woman at gunpoint at her home in Moultrie, about 40 miles north of the Florida state line. The woman identified one attacker who would later be convicted, but that attacker accused Robinson of being involved, which Robinson denied. The woman never identified Robinson as a perpetrator. The convicted attacker testified against Robinson and received a lesser sentence for his cooperation. Robinson's trial then focused on DNA evidence collected in investigators' sexual assault kit. An analyst testified that a small amount of unaccounted-for DNA had similar properties to Robinson's DNA. The analyst first said he couldn't conclude whether evidence included Robinson's, but then later said it was unlikely that the similarities could be explained by random chance. A jury convicted Robinson, and a judge sentenced him to 20 years, but Robinson maintained his innocence throughout. Enter a DNA scientist from Boise State University, Go Idaho. Greg Hampikian had been monitoring Robinson's case when he sent the DNA evidence to be analyzed by a probabilistic genotyping software, a relatively new tool that interprets DNA mixtures with computer science and advanced math. This is proof of postmillennialism, I'm pretty sure. According to this new analysis, the unaccounted-for DNA is 1,800 times more likely to be a random African-Americans than Robinson's. Georgia law says that testimony given by an incentivized witness, such as the attacker who received a lesser sentence for testifying against Robinson, is insufficient for conviction by itself if it is not corroborated. The DNA evidence had been the only corroboration in Robinson's case. As technology continues to morph and presumably improve, there will no doubt be more instances of this. Biblical law is very clear on this and offers a number of protections. No one can be convicted on the basis of just one testimony or witness. There really must be two or three witnesses, and this two or three is precisely for situations like this. An incentivized witness certainly does need to be corroborated, but I would hasten to add that our DNA analysis is still in its infancy, and it really needed a third witness in the case of Kerry Robinson. And I even go so far as to say that we ought to take this new evidence with a grain of salt. But regardless, it is useful and helpful in at least revealing why God's law is so wise. Two or three witnesses. God knows better than man. This is Toby Sumpter with your Cross Politic News Brief for Tuesday, January 14th, 2020. Have a great day.